What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time!
The best there is, best there was, and the best there ever will be! And you know it!
With a tear in my eye!
The queen of the crop, acknowledge me!
What's going on, everybody? Episode 409 of Top Rope Nation. Ryan Drosty, Jesse Velasquez, and making his return, Justin Joint. Justin, how are you doing tonight?
Finally, a reason to drink on weekdays again.
Yes, that is the primary reason we have moved the flagship back to a weeknight. Just so we can drink on a Monday night. This is the real motivation behind this show. You'll love it.
Oh, man.
How have you been, man? It's been a while.
It has been. I mean, we talk a little bit, you know, on text threads, and obviously me and Ryan see each other occasionally. Last time we went and saw the Elvis movie, which was pretty cool, except for the strange resemblance to Donald Trump that Elvis bears.
Good God. Come on. I saw the Truth Social post. What a joke. Nobody ever has said that to him. Ever. Come on. What a troll.
But no, I'm doing good, man. I miss talking to you guys. I miss interacting with our listeners. You know, Jesse spoke about it on Unplugged many a times. We've just kind of been going through a funk and a busy period, and you know, hopefully this is the start of us ramping back up into a more normal schedule.
Yeah. I mean, Jesse and I talked about Revolution last week, and I feel like that show got me back into the wrestling groove a little bit. You know, I'd been in this funk pretty much since the new year, and that show got me excited about wrestling again, excited to podcast and talk about it. And Jesse, 2 weeks in a row, we've done it. We're back now. How you doing?
All right. This is what we call a streak in the business. Yes. we're doing all right. This is actually the lightest week I've had in this year, I would definitely say. I actually had a day off today. I have most of the day off tomorrow, a crazy Wednesday, off Thursday, and then a crazy Friday. It's just, it's nice. So I'm going to be able to podcast three times this week. Spoiler alert.
Ooh, very nice. I love to hear that. Absolutely.
You know, speaking of, like, especially for you and me, Ryan, Revolution being the spark for getting back into things, I believe we all have some live events coming up that we're going to be going to, and that always helps the love.
We do. A little AEW. We're going to be going, this podcast will be this week at Dynamite and Collision. So I guess if you see one of us, say hello. If you're in the upper Midwest, Jesse, you'll be first up at Dynamite, man. Are you excited or what?
Yeah, I actually just bought my tickets today.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I got a, what was it? Buy three, get one in the lower half. I think we're in row 10, section E. So that might be the section over from the commentary booth.
Okay.
Well, nice. You have a hell of a show by the looks of it so far. Hopefully you break your negative Osprey streak, but I don't know. It's not looking good.
Probably not. I'm getting Swerve Omega. Like I think like everybody has said, like, dude, you're getting Swerve Omega. I go, yeah, it hasn't really set in yet. I told my lady, I said, the main event's going to be really good. So, I mean, she hasn't exactly been won over by pro wrestling just yet. I think I've showed her about 40 minutes worth and she's not impressed.
Well, this might convert her full time. Swerve and Omega. I mean, my God. For a title shot, for the number one contendership, I mean, that is for the EVP position on the line. We're going to get some predictions on that kind of towards the close of the show because, yeah, I think when they announced that match, I think pretty much immediately I was texting you like, oh, my God, Jesse, have you seen what you're getting? It's going to be awesome. If, you know, if we didn't have Collision this week in our neck of the woods, Justin, I probably would have thought about going up to that show somehow, some way. Getting to Dynamite in St. Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have been very tempted myself.
But, you know, Collision's been pretty solid of late, too. So hopefully we'll get something pretty nice as well. Speaking of pretty nice, you see the names scrolling across the bottom of the screen right now. Yes, that's right. That's why they pay me the big bucks. Look at that transition.
Roll screens.
These are our wonderful, very beautiful, very handsome patrons of Top Rope Nation. They are the producers of this show. They make it go. If you want to become a patron yourself, go to patreon.com/Top Rope Nation or just follow the link right here in the broadcast description. It's the number one way to support this show. We got some things in the works for the months ahead. Looking forward to everything that's coming down the line. All the bonus shows. Jesse just teased it. He's going to be recording two unplugs doing two podcasts this week. He's got it unplugged on the way. So look for that, TRN Classics, TRN Extra, my star ratings after every pay-per-view, and other benefits. You can check it all out at the link. You can also become a YouTube Plus member right here on the channel for just $2.99. You get access to a lot of our bonus shows, not all of them, but most of them. Every episode of TRN Classics, the video version, right here on YouTube. Your name gets spotlighted in the chat. Another bonus that you get from becoming a YouTube member. It's a little cheaper. You still get some bonus content and it supports the show too. So that's just another option. Or support us for free. Subscribe, like this video while you're here. If you're on the podcasting platforms, hit subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating. We would appreciate that very, very much. And looks like we got Brittany in the chat. We've got Tim in the chat. Give us your thoughts as we go. Justin had joked when we talked about moving the flagship back to Mondays. And I do say back to Mondays because I don't know if you guys remember this or not. But when TRN started in 2016, it was Kyle and myself. We recorded on Monday afternoons at the very beginning. So it was a Monday show. So we have come full circle now. But Justin joked, this better not be a prank to get me to do Monday Night Raw watch-alongs. And that is not what it is. Raw is on, but I have not turned it on at all myself tonight. But Justin, I got to tell you, I know it's your first show back in a few weeks. We are going to start with some WWE talk.
All right. Well, I will see you guys in about 30 minutes.
But I actually think you're going to have some thoughts on this because it's a topic we've been talking about in this show for like a year and a half. And more people have been getting on the bandwagon. Now everybody's talking about it. I said over a year ago that WWE was going to price out their fans, that if anything ended their so-called boom period, it was going to be the greed of TKO. And by God, that's what we're seeing happen here. WrestleMania is not moving tickets like it did last year. I think there's multiple reasons for this. The pricing structure has not helped. Creative has not helped. Returning to the same city 2 years in a row, also not the best idea. My God. I mean, Jesse, I'll go to you first. Where do you think this WrestleMania ranks as far as the build to it right now? And I mean, who do you point the finger at the most for the lack of ticket sales?
This is almost, and this will be the last time I use this, like a WCW 2000, 2001 comparison. Like who killed it? I think there's multiple people to blame in this, not just one. Hunter's creative has been very poor. I haven't really minded this Oba Brock build. I think that's been solid. The rest, though, like Roman and Punk and Ripley and Jade Cargill, like the Ripley and Jade Cargill stuff is really bad if you've watched any of it. I would say Endeavor with their ticket prices is another thing. And then I think you nailed it, Ryan. That third one will be just back-to-back years in Vegas. I think moving it away from one of the best cities in America, New Orleans, was a mistake. I think, was it WrestleMania 30 was the last time they were there, or was there one in between?
34.
You guys were at that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I could have maybe even almost convinced Justin Joint to go to WrestleMania if it was in New Orleans this year.
You could have convinced me to go to New Orleans.
Well, he would have been in the vicinity. Maybe hit up some indie shows at least.
There you go.
I mean, we talked about the show at the time. Not doing New Orleans was ridiculous, especially after officially announcing it with The Rock on SmackDown. I mean, what the hell? Sorry, go on.
Well, and lastly, you could convince me to go to Minneapolis this summer. Yeah. I shall already be here because SummerSlam's a two-nighter this year at US Bank Stadium. And quite frankly, I'm not interested. I have very little interest unless they show me some of the younger guys being near the top of the card. And that doesn't look likely except for maybe Oba.
I have some thoughts on Oba here in a little bit. I also have that on my agenda. Yeah. What about you, Justin? What do you think as far as what is hampering WrestleMania this year?
I mean, I think you guys have nailed the main points. It's poor booking, which I can't speak to because I honestly don't know the last time I watched WWE. So I can't speak to that. But high ticket prices, going back to the same place where, you know, WrestleMania has always been a destination for its fans. And, you know, a lot of them, well, they got the taste of Las Vegas. Why would they want to go back again 2 years in a row? And the economy, you know, fucking everything is so expensive right now. And they just seem to be ignoring that. But, you know, it still seems like they have a very dedicated fan base that would spend the money if they could. So that, to me, that just screams it's ticket prices. And, you know, poor booking be damned, because frankly, even when I was watching it, it was pretty shitty. You know, they had their hot point with the end of the Bloodline and Cody kind of reaching his apex. But, you know, Punk coming in, Randy coming back. But in my opinion, it's been going downhill for quite a while. But it's just weird to me that I don't understand how they didn't see this coming. You know, they got to have all the metrics, all the information, all the statistics to say, hey, you know, attendance is dropping. We need to maybe lower prices. And for them to ignore that, and if they go into, you know, this giant arena and it's, you know, there's empty seats in it everywhere, and I'm sure they'll do a great job of covering that up, it's going to be a really bad look. And I think their fans are going to start to notice that, hey, what is going on here? You know, even the ones who are dedicated to WWE might start looking at the side piece that's going on over in Jacksonville, which is a pretty hot product right now.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I mean, wait, did you say the economy's bad? Because yeah. I was told that a little over a year ago, things were going to turn around. Have they got worse? Are you telling me people are not eager to fly right now? Are you telling me people aren't eager to gas up their cars and drive across the country to take an alternate method there? I don't know. Forget it. But
seen those TSA lines lately?
Oh, yeah. No kidding. Yeah, I mean, I'm just going to tell you some of the stats here. So I got WrestleTix pulled up. I would highly recommend subscribing to their Patreon. You can get it for like $2 a month and get all the updates. They got higher tiers. You get more frequent updates. But the last update on the tier I'm on was 5 days ago for WrestleMania's ticket sales. And so this show is just under 4 weeks away now. WrestleMania Saturday on April 18th. As of the last update, they have sold 39,425 tickets. And look, that's a lot of tickets, 39,000. Mm-hmm. But they have 68,000 seats on the map if they sold every seat. And last year for WrestleMania Saturday, which I don't know if you guys remember this, tickets were a little concerned last year too. This is not the first year. They ended up getting 60,000 in the building, but for a while they were not moving that great. But yeah, last year they had 60,151 tickets sold. Okay, they're at 39,000 right now, two-thirds of that number, with a little under 4 weeks to go. For the Sunday show, they have sold 40,687. Last year, they had 61,389 for the Sunday show. So again, about two-thirds. Looks like they've sold a little bit more for Sunday, you know, with Punk and Reigns going to be headlining that night. I mean, to me, Punk and Reigns is like the one match that absolutely feels like a WrestleMania headliner this year. And so more people are going to that by a little bit. But if you actually look at the seating charts and like where the seats have sold, you know, and where they have not, I'll just try to share my screen here. This will only benefit those of you on video, but I'll try to explain for the podcast listeners. You will see, let's see. Hopefully this works. I'm getting some error messages. Yeah. Okay. You'll notice that the blue are the available seats. This is for Saturday. Most of them are on the lower bowl, where these seats are just insanely expensive. I mean, you see like straight on from the stage, lots of seats. Corner, lots of seats. Looks like they haven't maybe sold on the hard cam side at all, unless it's just sold out there. I don't know. It's hard to say. They're definitely not selling anything behind the stage right now. That is like totally empty. They're not selling back there because we know it's not set up for the full capacity. So that's where those seats are at. Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks for Saturday, as of 5 days ago, at least.
Two things. One, it just tickles me to no end that Mr. Punk, who made a big deal on camera of fans being on camera side when he showed up to WWE to take a little stab at AEW, is now wrestling to no fans on the camera side. I find that very funny. And I hate to drop this on you because I don't even know if it's possible. Do you know where they were at for sales like at this time last year? Like 4 weeks out? Is that something we can find out?
I can look it up on there. If you guys talk amongst yourselves, I can definitely pull it up.
Yeah, I can lead a few things. I mean, tonight they're at TD Garden in Boston. And they sold 12,400 according to WrestleTix. And John Cena's Intercontinental title win in November sold 16,200. So down 3,600 over the year. I know SmackDown's at about 10,000 in that same building last year. I think it was also around 12. So, I mean, they're still somewhat healthy. They're doing okay.
Yeah, we're not saying they're going out of business or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Don't get us wrong. Yeah.
Yeah, but the numbers are definitely declining. And go ahead, Justin.
I was just gonna say it's more about like how did they not get in front of this? How did they not see this coming? Like how did they get to the point where they allowed this to happen? It's just beyond me. Yeah. It's just hubris is all it's gotta be.
Yeah.
I think they're just riding the coattails too of the John Cena retirement tour. I mean, he's a ticket drawer no matter what.
Would that have been considered a sellout, that TD Garden with John Cena? 16? I don't feel like that is at TD Garden.
It's a great question. I actually have WrestleTix on Twitter pulled up, so while you're doing that, I just X'd out of it.
I mean, looking at TD Garden's wiki page, I mean, basketball capacity is over 18,000. Concerts are 20,000.
Yeah, so that would make sense, which, yay and sorry at the same time, Justin, for the Wolves beating the Celtics yesterday in Boston.
Yeah, that sucks.
All right, I got some data here. It looks like I'm missing the March 28th weekly update from last year, I guess we're a little behind that one. As of April 5th last year, so at that point they were 2 weeks out from the show, they had sold 48,000 for Saturday and 51,000 for Sunday. Hmm. When they were, let's see, 36 days out from the show, so that's a little more than they are right now. They had sold 44,000 for Saturday. What were they at right now? 39,000?
Basically right around 40, 39, yeah. 40.
And they had sold 46,000 for Sunday last year. And that was, again, that was 36 days out. We're less than that right now.
Which I guess
behind pace. Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely behind pace. And that does make it sound a little not quite as doomsday as initially. But, you know, the other part of it is they're trying to fucking give these things away. You know, it's discount after discount.
Yeah, they did the 316 day or whatever, where it was like 31.6% off tickets or something like that. And most of their promotions, they just have not really worked at all. I'm still scrolling. I'm trying to find, you know, when they were at 40,000 distributed, and they're, let me see here.
While I mean, you're looking.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say total seats of the map last year for that TD Garden show was 16,807 and they sold 16,526.
Okay.
I found for some reason this is not coming up in sequential order like it's supposed to on Patreon. Get your shit together, Patreon. but I did find the March 21st, 2025 update. So that's pretty much exactly where we're at right now. So they had sold 45,000 for the Saturday show, and they had sold 47,000 for the Sunday show.
What was Saturday? 45 or 43, did you say?
Sunday they sold 47 and uh-huh. Saturday they had sold 45. So they're about like
12,000 behind.
Yeah.
Total.
Yeah, so they're considerably behind where they were last year, I would say. But I was scrolling back trying to see, so like how early in the year were they at 40,000 sold for the Saturday show? And I mean, they had way back in January, they had hit 40,000. So
there's not a match or marquee attraction that can even pull more fans in either. Honestly,
there's not, dude. I mean, I'm looking at this card again. So I had said, and yeah, I think one of the big reasons, I think if creative is good, even with the ticket prices, you're going to find the WWE fans to shell out the money. It's going to hurt you a little bit for sure. In a stadium that big, when you're running two nights, then you go back to the one night WrestleMania. But two nights, because you're getting greedy and you're trying to sell double the tickets. If you don't have creative, people are not going to buy tickets to two nights. And you know, looking at the show, Punk and Reigns does feel like a WrestleMania match. It does. We've definitely been critical on the show of Punk since his return to WWE, but I've also been complimentary of some of the stuff he's done. Gunther and him was my favorite match in WWE last year, and him and Reigns feels like a WrestleMania match. The promos, the first ones were pretty good. Reigns has looked really bad recently. I thought, you know, like it's just,
I did hear he called his opponent old, which seems like kind of a no-no in professional wrestling.
I saw a tweet where someone had said something along the lines of, you know, during the pandemic days when they could control the entire response, it made you think like Roman had upped his game so much because they were doing community theater. But now back in front of the live crowd, and it's like, ooh, maybe he hasn't gotten as good as we thought. I mean, I think he's better, but I mean, Jesus, their most recent promo was not great. But yeah, I mean, you got that. Stephanie Vaquer and Liv Morgan. I mean, I don't know. Cody and Randy Orton in 2026. I mean, I was sure they were going to make that a triple threat. I was like, they could not possibly do Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton in 2026. Well, as of right now, that's still the match. Jesse mentioned it. Jade and Rhea Ripley. Holy Christ. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. Zero negative chemistry right there between those two. Obafemi and Brock Lesnar. Okay, that has some potential. Mm-hmm. AJ Lee and Becky Lynch does very little for me. I mean, those are your announced matches right now.
Yeah, it's a rematch of a so-so match at Elimination Chamber.
Yeah.
Do you guys, could you off the top of your head, without looking it up, can you tell me Randy Orton's last few WrestleMania matches? Because I randomly thought when they announced that.
I got one.
When it announced that he was a main event, I struggled.
Go Joe ahead. Henry last year.
Yeah.
Totally
right.
Forgot about that one. What a fucking barn burner that was.
He was injured, I believe, the year before. He's been having some. He teamed with Riddle, did he not, at WrestleMania 38?
Yes, that's right.
Was he at 39?
In a four-way?
Was he injured for 39 and 40?
Injured for 40, I could tell you that. 39, he's possibly injured for that too.
Dude, I can't remember at all.
I don't know what he did at 35, and that was a pretty memorable WrestleMania.
I mean, you've got to go back. Like the last time he was really a big player at Mania was probably like 30 and 31, right? Well, 31, Rollins. He had that RKO on Rollins. It was super cool. Mm-hmm. 30, obviously, factored in the main event plans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God, that was it, man. But here he is, old man Orton.
Yeah, 37, lost to The Fiend. 36, terrible Edge match in the Performance Center that was way too long.
Mm-hmm.
AJ at 35. AJ at 35. Justin, dude, we were in the building at 34 and I could not have told you this one. Fatal four-way with Jinder Mahal, Rusev, and Bobby Roode. I have zero memory of that match.
Wasn't that for the U.S. title, I believe?
Sounds right, but I don't remember. 33, Bray Wyatt to win the WWE title.
Remember that?
31, bad. Rollins. Yep. 30, the Daniel Bryan and Batista match. Yeah, dude, it's rough. I can't believe that they're doing that. I know they have the history going back, you know, legacy and all of that, but still, I just don't have any interest in that.
Orton had to have wrestled at 40 because he came back same time as Punk, right?
He did, yes.
Yeah, he Logan Paul and Kevin Owens.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah.
No recollection of that one. I definitely watched it.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I mean... Yeah, this card, not great. I mean, I got to look to Hunter. We've talked about it, too. I mean, just that booking. They just don't really have anything for me right now creatively that's been enticing to watch. The ticket prices we've been ranting on for a long, long time. By the way, apparently, did you guys see the reports that TKO made the call to the Trump administration to settle the Ticketmaster lawsuit that's been pending across multiple administrations for like years now over the Ticketmaster fees? Yeah, they called in a personal favor to get the federal government to settle that case, which hurts consumers because they have, I mean, like justice departments now for years have been working on this case and they had Ticketmaster. I mean, they were gonna take them to town, and instead they got them to settle that case, which is gonna hurt us. I mean, look, we all just bought tickets on Ticketmaster for a wrestling show. You see all those fees on there? Totally nuts. Absolutely nuts. It's a monopoly. And
I don't understand all of you out there who only watch WWE, who only support that when there's good alternatives. I mean, that's who you're giving your money to. Just people who are trying to take money out of your pockets.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the ticket prices are totally nuts right now. And, you know, I think AEW at times, they've been more friendly. If you have not listened to the show extensively for a long time, we also have criticized AEW when we felt they were selling their tickets for too much given their market size. I still think they are selling their tickets a little too high in some markets. Like the Collision Justin and I are going to, there's floor seats like well over $100. Like, I don't know. Why are you charging that for Collision in Cedar Rapids, Iowa?
Yeah,
really?
That's absurd.
I mean, you can move these tickets much faster if you're at a better price point. Now, they do have tickets for $35. I just think they should sell more of them at a lower price point. I think that they are still pricing them too high, but they're not anywhere close to WWE. And right now, I'm telling you for sure, you're going to get a better show at AEW. It's going to be a better live experience right now.
Well, better if you're a professional wrestling fan who actually likes to watch professional wrestling. Now, if commercials and promos are your thing, AEW is not for you.
Yeah.
Prime example. If you like standing around for 20 minutes between matches, go do the WWE thing. There you go.
Tonight, they had on Raw advertised Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, and CM Punk. How many of them are actually going to get in the ring and wrestle? My assumption would be zero.
Oh, absolutely zero.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Who wants to see him just talk? Apparently 12,500 people do.
What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage 1. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hey, I forgot to ask you guys, do you have anything in the glass? I think, Justin, you said you were going to be drinking.
Fuck yeah, dude. My first G&T in quite a while.
Looks good.
Look at that beautiful. Hold on a second. Hold that up again. Let me go full screen for you here. Look at that beautiful rocks glass.
Oh, yeah.
TopRobeNation.com. You pick one up.
Good quality, as we like to hammer home. That's a superb glass.
Nice and heavy. Feels nice on the hand. Not cheap. Well made. Jesse?
Not drinking tonight. I'm saving that for Wednesday. I am having some margaritas beforehand. I do have a margarita from Recess. Their lime margarita.
Any good?
The first couple of sips I had of this were not the best, and it's starting to grow on me. It's fine.
Well, I went a little Minneapolis for a little Surly Furious classic. You know, this was one of the first craft beers that I really started to love. I might have said this in the show before, but it never gets old. It's always good, I think. Always like Surly Furious.
Twin City staple.
Heck yeah. Back in the days when, God, this would have been like 2010, they only sold it in Minnesota. It was in tall boys. Had to take it back to Iowa when I would go up to Minnesota to see my wife's friends and family. And now I can just get it in town. I get a 12-pack of that quite frequently to keep it in the fridge.
Wait a second. That sounded awfully empty when you set that down.
Oh, okay. I poured it out. Come on, what kind of peon do you think I am?
I was proud of you. I thought you'd been hammering it, and I just didn't notice.
Yeah. I actually have my Revolution Brewing, nice Chicago brewery pint glass here.
Yeah, the reason he went quiet searching for those tickets
for
WrestleMania 41 last year was because he was just pounding a Surly Furious.
Shotgunning Surly.
I'll be right back, guys.
You should be celebrating and pounding a beer because tonight's the 29th anniversary of the greatest match in WWF history.
Oh, yeah. WrestleMania 13. Bret Austin. Very nice. It was March 23rd. I didn't even realize that. Nice call out. Are we going to be talking about that on Unplugged soon?
Very, very soon. Okay. Maybe as early as next week, depending. So it's going to be on your guys' schedules for those two, because we also got Flair and Sting from Clash of the Champions 1 to follow.
Early April.
Yes. Yeah,
there's a reason for you to sign up for the Patreon right there, you guys. We're going to do a deep dive on WrestleMania 13, Bret versus Austin on TRN Unplugged. Speaking of podcasts, can I just read you guys a quote? So recently, Obafemi appeared on Stephanie McMahon's podcast, What's Your Story? First of all, I don't know why anybody would listen to a Stephanie McMahon-hosted podcast, but if you do, and those of you who do listen to it, thank you for providing the transcript so that I didn't have to listen to that drivel. I appreciate it. Here is a quote from Obafemi when he was asked about who inspires him and gets him to dream big. Quote, "I just recognized the pattern of everyone who was successful. They weren't afraid to dream wild. Elon Musk, Joe Rogan, whoever. I listened to a lot of Joe Rogan when I was in college. He had this mindset of like, go out there, go and do it." He also mentioned David Goggins, who's like a veteran, has like a inspirational podcast, I think. I don't know a ton about him. I don't think
75 Hard. I think he invented that. I think that was him. I know he's a crazy trainer.
He's not like particularly political, right? But
no.
Yeah. But Elon Musk and Joe Rogan, Obafemi is inspired by them. My jaw damn near hit the top of my feet, Justin. When I read that. Obafemi, a fan of Elon Musk. Now, do you think he really is, or do you think he's saying what the McMahons and Hunter want to hear?
I was going to say, have we seen video? Was there a gun to his head while he was saying this? Maybe one just off camera?
Obafemi from Nigeria is a big fan of Elon Musk, the South African beneficiary of apartheid. Really? Like, come on, man. If that's true, that's mind-boggling. Absolutely mind-boggling.
Why wouldn't you say Hakeem Olajuwon?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, easy one.
Exactly. Dude, I don't know how Elon Musk would motivate anybody. I mean, he's from a wealthy family. He's purchased companies that were made by people who were the actual visionaries. I mean, I guess he was kind of behind PayPal. I'll give him credit there. But other than that, like, he's acquired companies that were built without him. I don't know how Elon Musk really is a guy to inspire you. Joe Rogan, I mean, look, Joe Rogan has the number one podcast in the world. I'm a podcaster. I'll give him credit. I don't listen to him. I find a lot of his content to be questionable at best. But a lot of people really like him. he's elevated some people that I don't think need elevating, and I'm not a fan of that. He's elevated people who I would think would not do things that would benefit someone like, you know, Oba is. I would think he would like people that would, you know, not, I don't even want to say it, not be detrimental to society. It's just very questionable to me. Now, Joe Rogan seems to be slowing down on some of the stuff that he was supporting, but it's like, dude, you didn't realize this a year or two ago. But I mean, look, he built himself up, you know, through being a comedian, through the UFC. I'll give him credit there. It's just like the stuff that has been spewed on his show that makes it very questionable that someone like Oba Femi would admire him. I don't know.
It's a good lesson or a good reminder that just because you're on TV doesn't mean you're smart. I always think about that. I can't remember what he was referring to, but Big Damo, formerly, what was he in NXT? Killian Dane.
Yeah.
His response when talking about some wrestlers who were saying some dumb shit, just some wrestlers are just fucking stupid. I don't know what to tell you.
Justin, I think your first quote when I sent you that quote, you responded with like the brain, or I think you sent it to me.
Yeah.
Did you? And you're like, God, the brain rot at that place is
a fucking disease.
Well, I mean, there's been stuff of NXT and the politics in NXT and it just kind of spreading down there. It's just pretty terrible viewpoints down there. But yeah, I don't know. I was pretty shocked. We've been excited on the show about Oba Femi and what they could do with him. And, you know, I still want to see the guy succeed. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I was just floored that that's who he's pointing to as inspirations. You know, like you said, Hakeem Olajuwon, my God.
Yeah. Nigerian, you could take any University of Alabama athlete because that's where he went to school. Go with like Julio Jones or something. I don't know.
Elon Musk? Really? Really, dude? Like, that's so questionable that I just, that was my first thought. I was like, is he just saying this, like sucking up to his bosses? Because he had said something like the day before, because I had put it up on our Twitter page and I was like, oh, he knows how to quote play the game or something, where it seemed like he was saying something that would suck up to Hunter. Oh, here it is. Oba Femi says Triple H was his favorite wrestler when he first started watching WWE. Quote, I like the way he worked in the ring. He was more of a complete superstar. He was good at everything. I think Oba Femi is politicking a little bit here.
Dude,
if I'm being honest.
I agree with you, but that's an even worse quote. I mean, my God. Have you guys seen any of the clips of South Park in the last year?
Yeah.
Every time Pam Bondi's on there, she's got some little crap on her nose. That's what thing. I'm thinking of right now with Obi.
Oh man. I don't know. Maybe he's just trying to, God, he was born in 98. What would his earliest wrestling memories be? Like the Reign of Terror from Hunter?
Yeah, that's weird. Like the absolute worst time to have been growing up watching Triple H in like the mid 2000s.
Yeah, like I could understand
stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, I could kind of understand like if you started watching around 98, 99, you know, boy, that period, mid 2000s, Triple H was dire, man. I mean, this is when he's doing Katie Vick storyline. I almost said that's when he was doing Katie Vick, which also would have worked, but mm-hmm. Oh boy. All right. Anyways, I think that's all I have on the WWE docket tonight, unless you guys have anything.
Oh yeah, I got lots more to talk about.
We're gonna keep going.
All right, let's transition to AEW. Now, again, I think wrestling wise, AEW has definitely been the better show of late. And more people seem to be coming to that side, or at least checking it out. If you look at, you know, ticket sales, if you look at the TV ratings. Now, again, we're not saying they're anywhere close to WWE. They are not, but their business is moving in the right direction, slowly but steadily. WWE's is moving the opposite direction. That being said, they came off of a really solid Revolution show. Dynamite was like so-so. The crowd, as a lot of people been talking about how the crowd wasn't great. Who the hell's doing what chants in 2026 during a serious promo from Swerve?
And a good promo too, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. He did his best to like get them with him. You know, they set up some good stuff like long-term. You know, we know a little bit about exactly what we thought was going to happen with Copeland and Christian against FTR. They got the aforementioned Swerve and Omega match. We got it. You got Will Ospreay in action, you know, to open the show. Very first guy out, which is cool.
He's certainly not going to ease his way back into competition. Jesus.
No.
This is going to be watching Danielson all over again. We're just going to cringe even more when he does all these high spots.
Yeah.
Almost a year to the day, too, that Kenny Omega wrestled Blake Christian. It was at the AEW Dynamite that I was at in St. Paul on the 26th, so coming up this Thursday. And Omega gave Christian like next to zero offense, and Blake was given a ton against Will. I thought it was too much.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we get this Toni Storm situation where they are not expecting her back for a long time, but she is not injured. So
my thought was pregnant.
Read into what you will. I do not know. I don't have any information on it, but she's gone for a long time. So, you know, they tease the Ronda match, and that's going to be well into the future, I guess. Ronda's not under contract or anything. She appeared kind of exactly what we speculated, Jesse, last Monday. I mean, she lives out there in LA. She's done a little business with Tony Khan before. She really doesn't like WWE. And they brought her on the show basically for just get a little tension, a little mainstream pop maybe. And that was what, you know, they possibly set up something with Tony down the line. But, you know, it appears it's going to be well into the future now. So that was surprising coming out of the show. They wrote her off with that backstage attack. So they can come back to that whenever she returns and look for the attacker. But I mean, Justin, I'll throw to you first. I mean, where are you at right now with AEW? Tell me about Collision and what you're looking forward to. The floor is yours.
I mean, I wish we had any inkling as to what we could expect in Collision, but that's not really the way Tony does things with his Saturday show, which I'm fine with. You know, I'm not expecting any fireworks or anything, but no, I'm in a really good place with AEW right now. I'm in that spot where I'm excited to see what's next. I'm excited to see if it's going to be Omega or Swerve versus MJF. You know, I'm apparently Hangman might be out for a while, taking some time off, which I think that's much easier for AEW to maneuver around compared to Toni Storm, just because I think the depth of the men is far deeper than the women. And frankly, in my opinion, Toni Storm is the top woman in the company, if not top three or four, men and women. So that'll be a little concerning, but I'm assuming we'll have Mercedes Moné coming back soon. So right now I'm just in a place of curiosity with the main event scene. I'm very curious. We're a long ways from it, but what are we going to be looking at for All In? Are they going to have MJF carry all the way there? And what is the big match? You know, the assumption is you would assume Will Ospreay will be taking the title there. And, you know, we've already seen Will Ospreay versus MJF at All in Wembley. So do they do that again, or do they get the title off of MJF before then? I've never really been a big fan, but Cope just does nothing for me anymore. He's the kind of the fly in the soup for me right now. Every time he comes on, it's kind of a little eye rolly. It's a little too WWE. And it's so strange to me with him and Christian. Sorry, I haven't talked to you guys forever. So now it's just all spewing out of me right now. Cope and Christian growing up together in wrestling, spending basically their entire careers in WWE Ryan, maybe you too, you know, been saying for a while that Christian's the best one in that tag team, you know, going way back to their WWE days. And they've proven it out in this AEW run, because Christian just fit in seamlessly the second he stepped into AEW, whereas Copeland still feels very WWE in everything he does. You know, it's the exact same entrance music. Everything he does is the same. His promos are the same. The matches are really the same. They're kind of an outlier compared to everything else in ring. So I'm sure a tag team run is going to happen. I have no major problems with it, as long as it's not too long. But when you have so many other possible teams and wrestlers that I would like to see elevated, you know, that just makes it even more Copeland feel like a a weight. You know, I mean, look at fucking Speedball. Somebody who, when he came in, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, he should just be a good in-ring mid-card guy. And now I'm like, could he be a future champion? Because that freaking match with Mark Davis was awesome. I think Jesse mentioned it not too long ago. It's like, Speedball's become must-see in-ring. You know, I mean, he just truly phenomenal. I really dig Mystico and Jet Speed. I think that's a pretty awesome trio. I don't know. I've rambled on, guys. Well, I mean, what do you think? Anything out of all that jarble?
I want to throw a question your way. And Ryan, too. What's up both your ways? I mentioned FTR and Young Bucks like easily carrying this tag team division, and Brodito should be up there too. I think the Hurt Syndicate, when they get back, could do the same thing. But is there another tag team that you would like to be thrown into this mix and elevated? Because we can't have FTR Young Bucks forever.
I mean, Jet Speed. Yeah. I think we you know, we've talked recently how we could see Kevin Knight as you know, a next big star, you know, possibly a all out main event challenger for a world title, you know, maybe this year or next. You know, if there's not any singles gold for them, that's one I could see. You know, obviously it was a real shame that Jake something got hurt basically as soon as he came in, because I was really digging that tag team with Mark Davis. And, you know, they just have so many good singles wrestlers that don't have a whole lot to do. I mean, you cut the Don Callis family in half and make some tag teams out of, you know, some of those guys. There's some phenomenal talent. I mean, Roosh, let's get him a tag team partner. Let's get them going.
The Guns are not healthy, or one of them isn't.
That would be the other one I was going to point to, but Colton's got the injury. So yeah, I mean, they were really coming on a couple of years ago. We were really starting to get into them, but yeah, they've injuries and been off TV a little bit and lost a ton of momentum.
Top Flight is zero steam.
Yeah. Maybe when Jay White comes back, him and Juice could make a run at the tag titles, especially since Jay White seems to be getting bit by the injury bug quite a bit these days.
Yeah. I think who would be a really good heel tag team, and it depends on your opinions of it. I wouldn't mind mm-hmm. seeing David Finlay and Gabe Kidd.
Oh, yeah. I like that. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Be a fun little mix. And I've mentioned Darby and Orange for the last month and a half. I would not mind seeing them in the mix for it either.
Mm-hmm.
So do we think that there's any chance that it's Darby who defeats MJF for the title? Because, I mean, you know, teasing a Darby match. Obviously, we got the Swerve Kenny match for number one contendership. What do you think, Justin? I mean, you've pushed the idea of Darby becoming world champion on the show before.
And I still don't mind the idea of it. I guess the issue is just never feels like the right time. I guess maybe if you do, actually, I wouldn't hate this. If you just kind of, we've had some decently long title reigns. If Darby plays Mankind and MJF plays The Rock, you know, what was that in the winter of 98, you know, right around 99,
mm-hmm.
Maybe Darby can win it for like a couple weeks or something. He doesn't need to be a long-term champion. You know, I like the way that dude sacrifices, you know, his body for this company. You know, it is one of those rare occasions where I agree with kind of does deserve it. Just give it to him for a short period of time. Then you can maybe put it right back on MJF. And then, you know, Tim in the comments mentioned Ospreay wants Omega for All In. So maybe you go MJF, Darby for a short run, back to MJF, then maybe Omega can get it. Or just have Ospreay beat MJF before All In, and he can just go into that show as champion.
Yeah, I could see that if they think it's too predictable, you know, that he would win it there. But I also wouldn't hate seeing Omega get one more run with the title, just short term. Yeah. Be the one to defeat MJF, like at Double or Nothing or something out in New York, and then just have it for the summer and then drop it to Ospreay at Wembley or something. Yeah, my only thing with that Darby scenario is it just seems kind of forced. Like, he's going to be around for a while, knock on wood, maybe. No injuries. Yeah, I hope. I mean, he's young still, but I don't see it right now. I don't, because we're talking about other baby faces that make a lot more sense. You got to get to Ospreay eventually. You know, Kenny is not what he once was, but like he could be a big draw in selling tickets. Like Omega Ospreay is a marquee match for a stadium. That's like a babyface stadium world title match that would draw and be super exciting. So yeah, can you imagine the entrances for that match? It would be so cool in a stadium. So I would be on board with that. Would it be predictable? Yeah, but you know what? It was kind of predictable that, I mean, I was still questioning whether it was going to happen or not, but when Brian won the title at All In a couple of years ago, it was still freaking amazing. Probably my favorite wrestling memory of the last 2 years post-Dynasty that we attended, Justin.
You know, predictable, we've talked about it a million times. Predictable isn't bad in professional wrestling when it's built right. You talk about Danielson. I know I was a little worrywart about Hangman last year at All In, but I think that was pretty predictable that he was going to beat Moxley. Going back to the other promotion, Cody Rhodes beating Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40, predictable. But, you know, it works. If you build it right, it's okay when you expect the star babyface to get the win and the world title.
Yeah.
The options are still unbelievable because, I mean, in theory, this would be shoehorning it, and I don't know how you could do it, but I will just play your hypothetical that Darby sneaks it away from MJF. Maybe 3 or 4 weeks later, Swerve takes it from him. You get that Washington connection. Swerve becomes a heel champion. He goes to All In, headlines it. Maybe he takes on Ospreay. We get that at All In. I don't know. It's a possibility.
Has Ospreay beat Swerve yet in AEW? They've wrestled twice, right? Or I guess once a draw and then Swerve beat him.
Swerve beat him at Forbidden Door 2024.
Yes. And then they drew last year on Dynamite.
Yes.
Okay. I don't hate that at all. I like that. Because that was the thing I was thinking about when it comes to All In and you're building to your biggest show of the year. It's like, what are the two biggest names you can put in there? And I think it really does come if Kenny can stay healthy and actually consistently to an extent wrestle, you know, Omega, Ospreay, Swerve are probably the names you're thinking of. Not to take away from MJF. I don't know how interesting him against any of those guys is compared to Ospreay, you know. Like I said, if we hadn't already seen MJF Ospreay at an All In, then maybe you'd go with that, but been there, done that. Although I guess they're 1-1 now in their matches.
I want you guys to listen to yourself and these fresh matches you're talking about and fresh world champions and stuff like that. Then the other brand, we got Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton, who wrestled at Vengeance 2011. 15 years ago. Yeah, let's go back to that for WrestleMania. I mean, they've worked multiple pay-per-view matches, let alone on TV. They wrestled on TV in 2007, 19 years ago. It's wild.
With all due respect, and I love Will Ospreay and Swerve Strickland, I don't want to see them headlining Double or Nothing 2034 for a World Heavyweight Championship. I just don't.
Dude, that would be, I mean, that 2034 would be even more recent. Mike, I mean, that's 8 years away. We're going back, 15 years? 15. That's crazy. I mean, 2041? Jesus Christ.
And there's two names you haven't mentioned. And I mean, rightfully so, because one has a mid-card title and the other one's in the same faction. It's Kyle Fletcher and Kinosuke Takeshita.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we're probably a year away from either one of those guys.
Yes.
And I think it'd be Fletcher first.
Yes.
Which I assume Fletcher will be the one to take it from Ospreay.
Most likely.
Yeah, man. I mean, you look at this. I mean, these guys have been in the company now for, like, Ospreay's around for years now. He hasn't won the world title yet. This just, the strength of the roster is incredible. And just trying to find the right time to do it, but also putting importance on the title, not moving the title around too much, also factors in and keeps looking forward to these things. So yeah, man, really excited. You know, I'm following this WrestleMania ticket sale still here. And I think they've solved the problem. You guys, I think they figured out how to draw some more interest in Las Vegas because they announced today that Tony Hinchcliffe.
No.
Tony Hinchcliffe will be back in Las Vegas. The quote unquote comedian who had trouble moving tickets to his show last year, who WWE had to try to confiscate video from his roast that he hosted because they didn't want it getting out there. Now let's book that guy again. That's the key. That's the key to selling tickets out here. Tony Hinchcliffe. That's what we need.
Yeesh.
Oh, boy. And with that, I don't really have anything else on the agenda tonight unless you guys do and I missed something.
I have a prediction for Wednesday.
Okay.
Swerve and Kenny are going to battle to a draw.
Three-way at Dynasty?
Yes. That's what I'm going with.
So Omega doesn't get his win back?
No.
I don't want to see like Swerve winning the EVP. I was trying to think, like, when has that kind of storyline really ever worked well in wrestling? Whenever they do that stuff, it's always pretty lame. Like, here I am, Swerve, the new EVP. I just don't like that kind of stuff.
And yeah, it hasn't been done. They just took the EVPs away from the Young Bucks, which ended up being kind of funny in the process.
Yeah, that was good. They've
done like people winning like authority positions in WWE.
Somebody else made that point. It's like, that's such a WWE authority figure thing to do. And it's just like, unless they have some really, really good ideas for Swerve to do stuff with that. I agree. I just keep that kind of hidden with Kenny.
Yeah. Well, we'll have plenty to talk about on the show next week because we will all be coming off of some live events. Should be a ton of fun. Hope you guys tune in for that. Hope you've enjoyed this show. Again, spread the word. The number one way to help us grow our show is to tell a friend who likes wrestling to check us out and subscribe. That's the easiest way for us to like double and triple our viewers and listeners. So really, really appreciate whatever you can do to spread the word and help us out. As I mentioned at the beginning of the show, Patreon, number one way to support us. There's the QR code on the screen that'll take you right to the page if you want to do that. I've got one of our new merch shirts on right here. You can support us by going to topropenation.com. We got all of our merchandise. Justin's got the rocks glass, another way to support us. And then this one actually won't go over Jesse's head, I don't think. Let me see if I can do this right. Yeah, our Discord. Get in the Discord, topropenation.com/Discord. That's where all the conversation is happening on a daily basis. Chat with us each and every day about pro wrestling and lots of other things. We've got some off-topic channels on the Discord as well. We got a sports channel, food and booze, movies, TV, video games, all of that stuff. So check that out as well. We'd love to interact with all of you out there. And yeah, we appreciate you guys tuning in here on a Monday night and your continued support of the show. Thanks to our people in the chat. Thanks to Brittany for tuning in, for tuning in, and of course all the patrons that we saw their name scroll at the beginning of the show. There's too many of them. I can't read them all off on air, but if you join up, I will shout you out on air next week.
Call Tim by his full name, Handsome Tim. That's what we all call him.
he's been way more humorous than Tony Hinchcliffe tonight, that's for sure.
Wouldn't take much, but yes, definitely. I'd much rather watch Tim Jensen do stand-up than Tony Hinchcliffe. I will say that for sure.
Oh, I could see that dry humor coming out for sure.
All right, everybody. It's been fun. Hope you all have a great week, and we will check you all next week. And if you're a patron, before then, on the Patreon feed. Take care, everybody.
Peace. Wolfpack is back, cause I'm mass destruction. Guess who see it, the bad boys are wrestling. Just in competition, win the war, that's their mission. Not no mercy, see the rings like the street. If you don't know, you better find out the Wolfpack. It'll prove a point, number one, just believe that you don't want to tussle with them. I'll be there for them.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.